The Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, joined by Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. Eric, what are we, it's a Tuesday afternoon here, what are we taking you away from? Eric?
Sorry.
There you are.
Gotcha.
Good. Hi.
What are you taking me away
from? Yes.
Yeah, what are you taking me away from?
Yes.
I put this into my schedule, so you're fine. Today was college football prep. What else? I have Tulane at Central Florida this weekend, so that is a lot more prep work than if it's an ACC, ACOC opponent for me. So, get me away from a computer screen for a little while.
Is that a good rivalry, Tulane and Central Florida?
It's an AAC matchup. Unfortunately, Central Florida lost their last two games. Over the past 3 years, they're one of the top five winningest programs, including the last two losses. In both games, they blew an 18-point lead and a 21-point lead. If they don't blow those two leads, then I'm on the sideline for a top 10 team this weekend, but instead it's an unranked matchup.
It's no surprise that you're grinding at that work, because that's just the sort of person you come across as to me, and I think to a lot of our audience. Do guys who've had the job that you have now at the ACC Network, guys that have had them for a long time, do they sort of like laugh at you because you're working so hard, or does everybody grind it out like this?
Well, if you want to keep your job, especially in the times right now, you need to be grinding it out. You know, it's ESPN who – I work under the ESPN umbrella, so that's why I'm not on an ACC game this weekend like normal, and they had to furlough so many people. So I'm grateful to have the job, and you know what? Here's the approach I took as a player. Whether it was a preseason game, a practice, no matter what, you could always take any play that was on video and say, that's who you are as a player. And so even though this is not going to be my biggest game I've ever done, and last week I was in the booth and I had an awesome experience doing a game in color for college football, and my second one doing that. And I'm back on the sideline this week. They could take any play from this weekend. If I have low energy, if I stumble over the open, if I don't know what I'm talking about, if I mess up someone's name, they could always cherry pick that and say, you're unprepared. So I try to take the same exact approach as I did as a player and just go hard all the time. Put out my best at all times, because I'd never want to be cherry-picked as, hey, look at this guy. He doesn't hustle when he's on the backside of a zone play or something. That might not be a great example, but
that's fine. I got it. Yeah, no, you're an inspiration, man. Thank you for the answer.
That. Yes. Yeah, I'm kind of sick of my dad referring to me as a guy who drafts candy on the radio, but then I think, you know, talking about whether a team should have punted the day before isn't really that much different, so I'll accept it. All right, Eric.
Right.
So
hey, you know what? You guys serve the people of Buffalo each and every single day, provide them entertainment, a lot of them on their drive home from a day at work that people may or may not enjoy, and hopefully you uplift them before they walk in their house. And if drafting candy provides entertainment over a disappointing Bills loss, good for you all.
It entertains me when I drive home, at least. So that's that's at least something. All right,
appreciate that, Eric.
Thank you. Yes. So this game last night, Eric, like, it's the Chiefs, and you know the Bills were an underdog here. I don't know how many people who watch the league thought the Bills were as good or better than the Chiefs, but of course, at the same time, there are, again, like last week, concerns about the Bills after this game. So how critical do you want to be?
Well, I was hoping if I just uplifted you guys a little bit and talked about my college football, we wouldn't necessarily have to get to all this.
We'd never get to the game.
No, I mean, yeah. No, there's obvious concerns after two losses. Now, I think some perspective is always needed, and you lose to two of the better teams in the NFL on days where your offense didn't have great nights, and you know, you took away what the last two teams' best quality was, but then you couldn't take the alternate away enough. For instance, 2 weeks ago, Derrick Henry, and this is debatable whether him or Ryan Tannehill is kind of the secret sauce in Tennessee, but you hold Derrick Henry to 3 yards a carry, but you can't contain Ryan Tannehill from escaping the pocket a few times. He converts a big third downs, you turn the ball over a couple times, and you lose down in Tennessee. And then this week, you hold Patrick Mahomes the 245-ish yards, and you don't let up any big plays in the air. You hold Tyreek Hill the three catches in the game, but you give up around 250 on the ground and 38 minutes of time of possession, but only 26 points. But you take away what both teams did best, and I don't think you can shy away from that. You know what I mean? And so you got to be better at taking away the secondary deal. But I don't think there's as much panic needed is what I'm kind of seeing shot at me on Twitter and what I'm reading and kind of hearing through the One Bills Live stuff that I did today. But there's obvious concern when you lose back-to-back games, especially in neither game. I know you had a one-score game, and if you get a stop, maybe the Bills can sneak that one last night and the week before. You know, there's positions where you're in it in the second half, but felt like they weren't in control of either of the games, you know, kind of in the second quarter and on. So there's some concerns, but from my point of view, not a whole lot of panic.
The run stopping, it was 245 on the ground and 225 through the air is what they gave up in the game yesterday. And, you know, I can understand wanting to prevent Mahomes from throwing it all over you. But, boy, being better at stopping the other thing is the problem, at least it was in this game. And because there's no way you could convince me that the plan was to let them run that wild on you. So what have I got there? Maybe we can start here. How badly do you think, if at all, this team is missing Star Lotulelei? They really don't have a replacement for that style player on their D-line.
No, you're right. I think they are missing him. And there was times last year, even with Star, that they got gash and for periods. I think it was back-to-back weeks of Miami and Philadelphia last year, and Star was healthy and playing, and they were giving up chunks in the run game, and then they kind of hunkered down, and it didn't become an issue the rest of the year. I look for those changes to be made. I don't know if it's personnel changes, but we saw some last night, Zimmer and Cox being elevated and being activated to the 46-man game day roster over Trent Murphy, over Harrison Phillips. So, you know, they're experimenting personnel-wise, I think mentality-wise. You know, at the end of the game, when they knew they were going to run the ball, and they were ticked off about getting just run over the whole game, and they actually had Cox and Zimmer in for these moments, then they were able to stop the run at a pretty good rate. And so last night, were they defending the run on the way to the quarterback, which is an old Jim Schwartz term that I got from him, an old Jim Schwartz saying, and because there was times where, you know, Kansas City doesn't run a ton of read option with the quarterback. So they're running shotgun runs where the defensive end was going towards Mahomes, and that was the unblocked guy as Edwards-Helaire went up the middle, and it was like if the defensive end took a route to the running back, you know, maybe at the TFL every other time, but he was going towards the quarterback and then going back to the running back, and he never made the play once. So were they telling those guys to go at the quarterback, and we're truly going to try and shut Mahomes down on this day? I'm not sure. It's hard for me since I'm not sitting in those defensive meetings. But long answer to your question, I think, yes, you know, all the new bodies up front, having Milano out, Edmonds with a shoulder injury, I think all of that is contributing to some of their lack of success on the defensive front seven.
With Eric Wood, Mike Schoep, and the Bulldog here on WGR. And there are a couple of plays later in this game that were almost shocking to see from a Bills team. Trey White's out-of-bounds hit. Jordan Poyer's was even more severe. Even got Sean McDermott after the game to criticize that and say, like, there's no place for that. Then, if you want it, Stephon Diggs just sort of lazily running back to the line of scrimmage and being late for the next play. I don't know, Eric. Maybe they're not all the same thing. As you look at it, but I've got veteran guys on a team that's gotten a lot of credit and been winning, and here in this game, I don't know, they cracked.
They did, and it got me too. I mean, I was frustrated watching those two plays by those defenders, and those are isolated, and you know, these aren't guys with character issues. They were frustrated, visibly, and to make bad decisions that they don't make often. I don't think I've ever seen either of those guys get you know, a unnecessary roughness that wasn't, you know, something bang bang on the sideline or something. And then I don't know if the Stephon Diggs deal was a miscommunication, you know, just like a misunderstanding, miscommunication, or if that was truly just he was frustrated. And if I'm Stephon Diggs, what they were doing at cornerback last night was pretty much like old school championship run Baltimore Ravens stuff. Like, hey, let's just beat them up at receiver, and we'll take penalties. We'll take hands to the face. We will take defensive holding. That's fine. We're not letting the Bills receivers take the top off the defense, and maybe they'll quit trying it. And you know what? We didn't complete any deep balls, and you have the receivers visibly frustrated at the end of the game.
Tennessee was rough with him, too. I mean, he had 10 catches in that game, but I thought in that game it was sort of obvious that they were punishing him. So, I don't know. Maybe these things are just separate things, but bottom line, like you said, they did not hit those plays in this game, and they're under 20 points again. And for all the talk that we've had about the Bills' defense and their strategy and their performance, like, the offense is the story for me. I always thought they would have to score a lot to beat Kansas City. Like, that was how it felt last season. This year, it's looked like they're capable of it. But you didn't have that last night. And so I'm not surprised that the Bills don't beat a Chiefs team when scoring in the teens.
No doubt. You weren't going to beat Kansas City last night. No question, by scoring 17 points. Now, could the defense help you out and got off the field more? Yes. Could the offense help themselves out and to put more points on the board? Absolutely. And to beat a team like the Chiefs, you're going to have to play clean on offense, and they play clean from the standpoint of not turning the ball over. And the one that would have been the turnover on downs, luckily, was a snap infraction because they got stuffed. But you're going to have to do more than just play a clean game with no turnovers to beat the defending Super Bowl champions with the best quarterback in the league. To your point, they were going to have to score 28, 30, 35 points before the game. I said that they were going to have to score, I think I said 31 points or something, to beat Kansas City, and they didn't get it done.
How about the Bills' run game? We talked a lot about what Kansas City did to them up front, and try to guess and feel around for some reasons. There's some stats making the rounds here about the percentage of run plays the Bills and specifically Devin Singletary are facing with not stacked boxes. In other words, advantageous situations to run the ball, and they still can't seem to get the ground game going. I imagine there's some problems up front, and maybe that's a multifaceted thing where it's guys are taking turns. But either way, on a night where it was sloppy and Kansas City, maybe much like Tennessee, was inviting them to run, they could not do that effectively either.
You're right. And the yards per carry for Devin Singletary is a concern this year. Last night he's at 3.2 yards per carry. Zach Moss at 2.0 yards a carry, but when you look at that, he's in for a lot of short yardage situations. He's generally, unless he busts one, he's not going to have a huge yards per carry based upon the runs that they had him in for last night. But when you look at Devin Singletary, it is concerning. And, it's hard to put your finger on it necessarily. There's a lot of penetration in the backfield. The one where they showed the end zone review of was the 3rd-and-1 right before the snap infraction QB sneak that I referenced earlier. And on that play, the 3rd-and-1 play, Cody Ford, the way he came off the ball, not even looking back at Jones, who made the inside move on him, he thought that Mitch Morse was coming with him. Mitch Morse was combo blocking with the backside guard. So to me, that's a pure miscommunication. And, that stuff can get fixed. And maybe, it's hard to blame stuff like this 6 games in on something with not having OTAs, not having, as much work in not having preseason games, I'll say. It's hard to blame that 6 games in when we didn't blame it in games 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, there's some issues up front, but, that goes offensive line. That's tight end. That's quarterbacks getting them into the right play at the right times. And, Devin Singletary, this was pretty much the same line as last year. I'm not saying they're playing as high of a level as last year, but it's pretty much the same offensive line and the average over 5 yards a carry. So something's going on with the run game.
With Eric Wood for just a couple more minutes. Eric, I've got to ask you about the Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick taken out. Like, I think most fans sort of are expecting that to happen at some point, or were. But Fitzpatrick really did not make it easy. He did not have any kind of a blow-up game. And, you know, more to the point, in their last 2 weeks, they have dominated and won in routes. But it's the bye, and Tua is a top-five pick. And so here we are nonetheless. I wonder, you know, what you think, or maybe you know, what Fitzpatrick's reaction to that might have been. And then, like, are the Dolphins legit to you?
So a couple questions in there. I did not speak to Fitzpatrick yet. I tweeted something about it. He's not on Twitter under a handle that you would recognize. I have sources that say that somehow he sees a number of my tweets. I don't know if that's from his wife, his son, or who it is, but he has access, but he does not participate. I'll say that. So anyways, I have not spoken to him yet. I don't really even know how to phrase it. Maybe you guys can text me some words of advice after this. Maybe that's my question for you guys this week. Right. How do you reach out to a buddy that should not have been benched but was? You understand what they're doing, but you don't agree with it. You know, what's the wording? But, you know, when I look at the situation down there, you know, Fitz had said from the very beginning he knew the situation. He was there, and he said it on my podcast when we recorded one over the summer. Yes, he's there, and he's going to teach Tua. He's there for him. He's going to mentor him. But he's going to compete like hell to keep that starting job. And that's what he's done. He won the starting job, first off, and then he's played well enough to keep it. You know, is their strategy to go out and win this year and make a run at the AFC East? Then I think you keep Fitz in there. But, you know, you play Tua in basically a situation at the end of the game last week, hand off the ball, you have a bye week coming up. Maybe you just think this is the time for Tua. Maybe this isn't Flores' decision. Maybe this is not Chan Gailey's decision. I'm assuming it probably comes from above them. So there's a lot that goes into a quarterback decision like that. And, you know, obviously I'm going to be biased of one of my best friends and say that 50 should not be getting benched. But I think there's a lot of people around NFL circles and just around the country that agree with me.
Yeah, and I wonder if he could be traded. And there's been some speculation about that, as you see Dallas struggling or other teams. I would guess that the Dolphins would not want to do that, that it might be a pretty high asking price or higher than what is realistic. They have draft picks already, Houston's 1 and 2, as well as their own and maybe others. And I'm sure they appreciate and value what Fitzpatrick's role has been and what they see it being as a backup. So, you know, he's insurance besides. I would think that they would not want to do that, but I would love it, Eric. I would love it if Ryan Fitzpatrick got traded. Okay, if it's Tua time, it's Tua time. Then you don't need Fitz anymore. And he goes to a team. I mean, the Cowboys is a really fun idea because, like, they're loaded and they're 2-4 and in first place. Like, you know, the guy's never been to the playoffs. What a story.
That's what I was just going to say. Fitz has never been to the playoffs. Yeah, give me Fitz to Dallas. And I'm all for it. Plus, I've always loved when Fitz played in the NFC because it gets a lot easier to root for him, even harder than I normally do. You know, normally it's like this balance of like, oh, I really want Fitz to do good, but I sure don't want to see the Dolphins win again or the Jets or the Titans, and the list goes on. But I would be all for Fitz the Dolphins. And I never answered your question about are the Dolphins a contender. You know, I haven't seen enough from Tua to know. You know, I know he played well at Alabama, and then he had that massive injury last year. We haven't seen him in, I would say, over a year. I don't know the exact timeline. Right around a year we haven't seen him, and he was playing against college guys. He gets no OTAs, no preseason games. I'll go ahead and take the no on that one.
They are sixth in the league in point differential. Now, again, they took their quarterback out, but like they're stopping people. They have a better point differential. They were above Kansas City until last night. Arizona passed them as well last night. But like they're off to a very nice start, 3-3. Maybe they are more the competition for the Bills than New England is.
And you might be right there, honestly. And, you know, we'll see how New England does when they get past this coronavirus outbreak situation they got going in New England. But you know, when I looked at New England from the start, and I saw what they were doing with Josh McDaniels and Cam Newton. It was great coaching. But unless they're going to embrace fully what he did in Carolina in his MVP year, get him in the shotgun. Quarterback powers, a lot of play action, similar to what the Bills were doing with Josh Allen to start this year. His arm's not as dynamic as Josh's, but similar stuff. Then I didn't think that they could kind of out-scheme people in a normal under-center, kind of Tom Brady, kind of Cam Newton-looking offense, and we'll see how that develops throughout the year. But to me, it didn't look like it was sustainable that they were just going to kind of continue to trick people. And then their defense, to start the year, playing well, but all the opt-outs they had, as soon as they have any injuries, coronavirus, whatever it may be, they're thin on defense.
Well, Bulldog, I don't know how to advise Eric. Like the question he has about how to reach out to Fitz depends on how good a friend you are. I mean, like if something like I don't know, you and I work together, but say you lost your job. Let's say for the sake of this point that we're friends.
Okay.
So right. you lose your job.
This is already far-fetched.
Right. So I might joke around with you. Instead of just being like, hey, I'm sorry to hear the news or something like that. Like, if you, right. I'm sorry to hear is sort of what you say to somebody you don't know that well, but you have their number.
Right.
Yeah. I think when it's a close friend.
That's kind of the predicament I'm in.
Yeah. I think, dude, tough one. I mean, I don't know. Like, that's, you know, like, that, I don't, that might
demand be a trade.
The best I'm going to do is, like, dude, tough one.
Dude, what the heck are they thinking down there? Demand a trade unless you feel like being at way more of your son's and daughter soccer games on the weekend, then shoot, take off after Saturday morning, walkthroughs up Tampa, then come back to Miami for the game Sunday and chill out. I don't know.
Right.
Probably somewhere in between sympathetic and that.
Right. Dwayne Haskins might have had a cold and missed a couple of days there. Who knows? Maybe Fitz can have a cold or something. I don't know. I'd love to see him on a new team and be able to keep playing. Eric, great to talk to you as always, and we'll do this Monday next week if that works for you.
Yep. Sounds good. And I'm all for Fitz playing for a new team, and I want it to be like a brand new team for him. I want him to get just another touchdown pass as a starter from another franchise and just keep racking up and just keep padding his stats on his already NFL record.
Like McCown with the kids having all the jerseys. I mean, he's got a bunch of kids, right? He needs to add to that list. Maybe. All right. Thanks again, Eric.
Yep, my pleasure. See you guys.
All right.